Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, and I am so excited today for our Bible class, our study in the Word on tonight. I give God reverence and praises to the Almighty God who is my life, to everyone in their respective places. I just thank and praise God on tonight for another opportunity for our last Bible class for 2016. I give God praise tonight, and I thank him on tonight. Tonight, I'm going to call our Bible class to order. We're going to have a hymn, a prayer. We're going to have a hymn, a scripture, and a prayer. And we're going to go from there. Amen. Here is our hymn.
This is for Frank Williams. I will trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 65. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. I have just read you from Psalm 66, from the first verse down to the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all the doers of his holy word. Father, we just come just thanking and praising you on tonight, asking you for forgiveness for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you, Father. Lord, if we've offended anyone, if we hurt anyone, if we caused anyone to stumble, Lord, we ask your forgiveness now. Lord, we ask you to search our hearts tonight. If there is anything in there that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight. Lord, we just come thanking and praising you, asking you to bless our study in your word, Father. I ask you on tonight, Lord, to let Deborah decrease 100%, that you may increase 100%. And teach your people on tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this Bible class, the study in the word. Lord, I just thank you for it on tonight. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I ask it all in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen, amen. And on tonight, we're going to study a little bit on the prophetic word of God. This is some of my curriculum for the school by the grace of God. And so we're going to just ask God to bless everyone that's up under the sound of my voice, those in radio land and those on our radio broadcast on tonight. Now, the word prophecy means to speak forth. Bible prophecy includes three basic kinds of speaking forth: a message of inspiration from God, predictions of future events and God's eternal plan, and interpretation for man of the acts of God. God commissioned each prophet of the Bible to fulfill a particular role in his plan. As an interpreter, they explain God's act to men. As a spokesman, now just let me talk about that. He commissioned each prophet of the Bible to fulfill a particular role in his plan. So he commissioned each prophet, each one of us, to fulfill a particular role in his plan. As an interpreter, they explain God's act to man. As a spokesman, they voice God's truth. They spoke messages of hope and inspiration. As prophets, they predict future events in God's plan through revelation given by the Holy Spirit. The predictions of the Bible prophecies are beyond the power of humanity's ability. They include a sufficient number of details to eliminate speculation or guessing. These are two basic ways in which God spoke through the prophets: the spoken word, The method most often used was the spoken word. God would tell the prophet the word to speak. For example, God said to the prophet Jeremiah, go forth to all that I shall send thee, and whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So, you know, when we're praying or when we're ministering, when we're doing what God has called us to do, he'll commission us to give the word, whatever word it is, the spoken, whatever word he give you, the spoken word of God, whatever he tell you to say, you should say it, not any more, not any less. For the word that he gave Jeremiah was, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So whatever he was telling Jeremiah, whatever I tell you to say, that's what you say. And don't add none to it. Don't say, well, you know, you have to put, and you have to, for it to make sense to you, but it ain't, can't make no sense to us. We have to say what God has given us to say. That's the spoken word. We have to do what God has called. We have to be obedient for that. And then the second one is the active prophecies, the active prophecy. In addition to the spoken prophecy, God had the prophets visually act out a message. For example, God told Jeremiah to make thee bonds and yokes and put them about thy neck. Jeremiah 27:2. These yokes were a visual prophecy of the yokes of bondage, which were to come on the people because of their sin. Jeremiah acted out the prophetic message of God. That's exactly what he did. Let me just read this from over here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 27:2. It says, thus said the Lord to me, this is Jeremiah, make the bonds and yokes and put them upon thy neck. Let me see here, 27:2. Ambassadors of the nation mentioned it. See, Jeremiah had warned Israel. He had warned them that such conspiracy would result in slavery, symbolic of the yokes that God was telling him, the bonds and yokes, and put them about thy neck. See, he had warned them, Jeremiah had warned them of what God was going to do, in that such conspiracy would result, and what they was doing would result in the yokes being enslaved, being in prison, whatever it was. Only by submitting to Nebuchadnezzar could they have hope to survive. They had to submit to the king. They had to submit to King Nebuchadnezzar. So he acted out that prophecy. He did what God told him to do. Sometimes that's what God will instruct you to do, to do what he say do. Go over there and do so and so, or however, he'll tell you what to do. And I never looked at it like that, because a lot of time Apostle Dean will be seeing visions and him doing stuff in the vision. So it's a blessing for that. Now we're going to go on to the source of prophecy. The source of prophecy, the source of biblical prophecy is God. God is God who reveals his message to man through the Holy Spirit. Now, Some people don't believe in the Holy Spirit, but you can't hardly do anything without the Holy Spirit. Some people call the Holy Spirit an angel. I'm saying I know who the Holy Spirit is. I know who the Holy Spirit is. And you cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit. For the prophecy came not in old time, but the will of man. But holy men. Now, let me read that again. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, that's in 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Like I said, some people don't believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity because you can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you just a plain old man without the Holy Ghost, without him sending his anointing and bringing his anointing in play. He said, for the prophecy came not in old time just by the will of man. No, but it came by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spoke by the anointing that the Holy Ghost supplied. So that's how prophecy, this is the source of prophecy right here. But God have revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. This is the source of prophecy, the source of biblical prophecy of God. It is God. He is the source. And he reveals it to man. And through that, is the Holy Ghost have to do all the work, give you the anointing, give you whatever it is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And we have to remember that, especially in prophecy now. I just told us that God commissions us. God commissioned each prophet to a particular role in his plan. Some of us, as prophets, interpret, they explain God's acts to man, or be a spokesman for they voice God's truth. They speak as God give them utterance. They speak what God tell them to speak. They spoke the message of hope and inspiration. That's what we have to do. We're commissioned to do these things as prophets to events and God's plans through revelation given by the Holy Spirit. He played such a big part. He is a big part of life. Everything, all of God's plans, the Holy Ghost make it possible. The prediction of the Bible prophecy are beyond the powers of human ability. They include a sufficient number of details to eliminate speculation against it. It's way beyond our power. It has to be the power of the Holy Ghost. It's got to be the power of God. We ain't nobody. So it has to be that power. But the source of prophecy is from God. God can speak accurately of the future because it's already made known to God all of his works from the beginning of the world. God created everything, you know, so he already knows. That's over in Acts chapter 15, verse 18. We have to remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Nobody can do that but God. nobody. He is the source of prophecy today. Decline the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. That's over in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. He's declaring the end from the beginning. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Ancient of Time. He made time. Time belongs to God, not to us. It belongs to the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. So whatever's not done is going to get done. He said, I'm going to make sure it's done. My counsel shall stand. My word shall stand. And I will do all of my pleasure. God raises up true prophets. I'm telling you, it's so important to be a true prophet of God. It is so important. You can't go lying on God. You can't mess these. I'm telling you, you prophesying to somebody, and God say, sit down, and you say, God said, sit down before he do so and so. No, you don't add nothing. You don't take nothing away, and you don't add nothing away, because when you do that, it's a false prophet, because you lying on God. And I ain't lying on God. I don't care if you don't understand the word I say. I don't understand it. It ain't my business. It's from God, and I'm going to say what he tell me to say. I hear in my ear. If it don't make sense to me, too bad. It's too bad, because when it start making that sense like that to me, is I've been the God in my flesh. What he say? He know what he's doing. He know exactly what he's doing. But we got to stay in our place as a prophet. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. God reveals his future plans to these prophets so they can prepare his people for the future. That's his plan. That's his purpose, to even call a prophet, to even commission a prophet. He commissioned each prophet of the old time and up today to fulfill a particular role in his own plan, in his own pleasure. That's what God does. And he's study raising a prophet. God reveals his future plan to these prophets so they can prepare the people. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealed his secrets unto his servant, the prophet. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. He surely will not do anything but reveal it, his secrets, unto his servant, the prophet. He revealed to us what he wants us to know at all times. God revealed to us. And I'm telling you, we are not worthy. I'm trying to be correct English, we're not worthy of this. But by the Christ, by Jesus, we are worthy just because he died for us. We're worthy. But I'm telling you, it's an honor and a privilege, and I don't take it lightly. I'm not finna play with God. I'm not finna say stuff I ain't supposed to say. I'm going to do what God say. I'm going to say what God tell me to say. And if he don't tell me to say it, I'm going to sit there with my mouth closed. Because you don't say everything. You don't say everything. And listen, God say it. Now, he didn't taught me. If he didn't teach me anything else, I've been hearing him for years. And I'll be wanting to tell somebody just to show. If I say, honey, I hear it, the Lord, and he says such and such and such and such. I don't hear him no more for 2 or 3 months. He don't say one word to me, but I didn't tell you to say a word. I didn't say that. So you have to be obedient so he can speak even the more to you. Imitates true prophets through false predictions by fortune tellers, witches, and astrologers. These methods are not of God. And see, that's what I be trying to tell people. All these horoscopes and fortune tellers and psychics and witches and this not that. This not of God. And I know it's not. The prophet Daniel said, the secret which the king have demanded, cannot the wise man, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, shew unto the king? In other words, he was saying, can't all these fortune tellers and psychics and witches and astrologers tell the king what he needs to know? Because they ain't nothing but the false prophets. They ain't nothing but of Satan. They cannot. They can't help them. They cannot do it. So, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and make it known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. That's Daniel chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. True prophecy directs attention to Jesus Christ. True prophecy directs attention to Jesus Christ. For I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost plays such a big part in the Trinity. Such a big part. But we as prophets, we got to do what God has called us to do. We got to stand, we got to know our place first. Then we got to stay in it. We got to know what we're supposed to do and know what we're not. This is what I'm saying. This is a real serious. This is real serious. Because you can lie on God in a minute. You can lie on him in a minute. And then you have to go repent. So I try my best to make sure I'm hearing God. I try my best. I had to learn some things. Even the discernment comes from the Holy Spirit. Discernment. You have to know where you're going with this. The Bible warns of false prophets. In Matthew 24, chapter 24, verses 11 and verses 24, and Mark chapter 13, verse 22. A people called the false prophet will be evident in events at the end of the world. That's over in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 17, verses 16. No, chapter 16, verse 13. And this is in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 10. The Bible reveals several ways to identify false prophecy. Somebody asked me that the other day. How can you tell a false prophet? They sexual immorality and permissiveness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. False prophets teach that. They try to, a false prophet try to lead people away from the obedience of God's word. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. A false prophet, they make false claims And I'm trying to get some examples in my mind for you all. Because they're not a false prophet, not working. They're not working on what God is telling them, and not using their discernment because they don't have any. So they telling you basically just about what you want to hear. Because you know Satan is just an invitation. They imitating the prophet, but not a true prophet. So they lying on God and trying to make themselves look good, telling you what they think you want to hear. And then it says a false prophet try to lead people away from the obedience of God. Oh, you know what? You know, it's all right if you do that. You know, you can have a glass of wine. You know, this stuff like that. And I'm not saying wine will send you to hell. But me, I'm not finna tell you to drink no wine. I ain't finna drink none. I ain't finna drink no sparkling champagne. I ain't finna drink none of that. Because I'm a called prophet of God. Commissioned to prophet. To prophesy. They do not prophesy according to the proportion of faith in right relation to God's word. That's in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. They don't prophesy by faith. They don't do it according to their faith. They just say what they want. They tell you what they want you to hear, what they think you want to hear. They're going to keep doing that. A false prophet do not have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They do not prophesy according to the proportion of faith in the right relations to God's word. That's Romans 12 and 6. But false prophets do not have the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 16. And it's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23. What they prophesy does not come to pass. That's how you can tell a false prophet. And that's over in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20-22. Because when people, that's why, you know, don't hardly ever hear me say a date or a time, or none, and you don't say that unless you hear it from God. And if I don't hear it, I may say soon, or very soon, or it's finna happen, or I'm not finna put no date on it unless I hear it from God. I have to surely hear it from the Lord. Now, the purpose of prophecy. The Bible reveals three main purposes for God speaking to men through prophecy, because that's exactly what it is. It's God speaking to man. That's what you call prophecy. The fulfilled prophecy proves that God's message is authentic. In Isaiah 41, verses 21, through 23, God challenges the gods of the heathen nations to prove their power by foretelling future events. They could not do it because they were false gods. He challenged them to do it. But if you false, if you imitators, then ain't nothing you can do. It says, let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, or show the former things what they be, that we may consider them. And know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Isaiah 41 and 22. So they don't know. They trying to imitate. a prophet, and they being a false prophet. But one thing you know for sure, you can tell a false prophet by what they say not coming to pass. And that's over in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22. To confirm God's messenger, prophecy confirms the true messengers of God. The prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Jeremiah 28:9. Let me read it again, because this is a true prophet. These are true prophets. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. See, the word got to come to pass. And then you're trying to make peace when it's confusion everywhere. You're trying to prophesy of peace, and that word come to pass. Then you know that the Lord have truly sent you. That's to confirm you as his messenger. Believers are to receive instruction from prophecy and take heed. They need to pay attention to it, to the instruction. This instruction is for believers. They need to pay attention to prophecy. Because believe me, God is not going to do anything except he reveal his secrets to the prophet. He will not do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. And I let you all know that was in Amos chapter 3. He had revealed it to us. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you ye do well, that ye take heed as to unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You need to take heed to it. You need to take heed to it. The importance of studying prophecy. There are four main reasons why it's important to study Bible prophecy. The first one is, all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for study. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is good for study. Number two, prophecy brings understanding of past, present, and future events in the plan of God. Because prophecy, you can prophesy past, can tell you what you did when you was a little girl. They can tell you what you're doing now, and they can tell you what you're going to do, past, present, and future. The things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. This is the importance of studying prophecy. Understanding of God's future plan prevents deception by Satan. If you understand God's future plan, Satan can't deceive you. But you got to understand God's future plan. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 23 through 26. He had already warned us, because they coming. They coming. Some of them are already them being here. We have many false prophets. But God said, don't believe them. He's given us this word. We got to study to show ourselves approved so we'll know what are we supposed to do. We got to study. God's future plan has been shared before it happened, so we would not be deceived by Satan. We already know, because it's over in Daniel, it's over in Revelation, what the future gonna hold for us. We already know that God is going to rapture us up. We already know that we going to a prepared place. We already know that his kingdom is coming right here on earth. We already know that. So Satan can't come tell us no stupid stuff. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. You got to know. You got to know. You got to know for yourself. You got to study. It's all right for somebody to tell you. But if you know it for yourself, Satan can't trick you. How to understand prophecy. Some people are frustrated when they try to study Bible prophecy because prophecy is more difficult than other portions of the Bible. They wonder if God really intended for them to understand it. It is possible to understand Bible prophecy. God wanted so much for Daniel to understand prophecy that he sent an angel to explain it to him. The angel said, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Don't tell me what God won't do and what he to give you what he needs you to have. That's in Daniel chapter 9, verse 22. He will send somebody. But we got to be studious. We got to want to know what God is talking about. Because we say we prophets. God say he commissioned us prophets. We got to make sure we know what we're talking about. Jesus took time to explain Old Testament prophecy to his disciples. He took the time to do it. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. That's in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. He was explaining to them, all this stuff got to take place. It's all got to be fulfilled concerning me. I got to die and go to the cross and die. And I got to give Jesus, and God, my Father, going to raise me up. When the disciples asked Jesus about the end of the world, Jesus listed several prophetic signs for which they were to watch for. He wanted them to understand future events. Jesus said, so likewise ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Matthew 24, chapter 33. In the introduction to the book of Revelation, it is clear that God wants his people to understand prophecy. But back over here about when Jesus was telling them about the disciples asking him about what they should look for, and he was telling them wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. I mean, you go all kind of tribulations and things, and we gonna know when he said when you can't tell the season, the weather, the season from the season. When you can't tell that, when you don't know the winter from the summer or the fall from springtime, these are some of the signs that Jesus said to them. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. Revelation 1 and 1. There are five basic keys which will help you understand and properly interpret Bible prophecy. This is Bible prophecy we're talking about. Number one. The basic theme of prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ is the basic theme of Bible prophecy. There are many other subjects of Bible prophecy. For example, excuse me. For example, there are prophecies of judgment of wicked nations by God, but the underlying theme of all Bible prophecy is that they somehow relate to Jesus, purpose of God regarding him. So Bible prophecies, when you have Bible prophecy, it points to Jesus or it relates to Jesus. That's the purpose of God regarding Jesus. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. That's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It says the fullness of time, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and earth. And we know that when Jesus comes back, we all going to be together. When his kingdom come, his will be done on earth, right here, on earth, as it is in heaven. On earth, though, it's going to be on earth. It's not going to be in heaven, and it's going to be right down here. And his will going to be done right down here on earth. All Bible prophecy, even when it deals with subjects such as judgment upon nations, relates to the overall plan of God. The plan is to bring all mankind to right relationships with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose is to gather in one all things in Christ. Bible prophecy, all Bible prophecy, God is going to reveal everything before he do it. He's going to reveal it to his servants, the prophet, over in Amos chapter 3. He's going to reveal it to us. But the purpose is to gather and make it one, make us one with Jesus Christ. The purpose is to gather and one all things in Christ. The Bible states that the Spirit, or the theme of Bible prophecy, is Jesus. The Spirit of Bible prophecy is Jesus, or the theme, or the basic, is Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That is his, that's Jesus' testimony, the spirit of prophecy. We have to have the Holy Spirit in order to prophesy. We have to have it. You cannot prophesy without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. Study Bible prophecy. Consider it in terms of this question. How does this prophecy relate to Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy, and God's overall plan concerning him? Because God's, his plan and purpose is concerning Jesus Christ. His plan and purpose is concerning Jesus. He sent his son. So when you are regarding, when you are studying Bible prophecy, consider it as it relates, or relate Bible prophecy to Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy. And then you'll understand it better. Number two, the Bible interprets itself. Another key to understanding is to realize that often the Bible explains its own prophecy. For an example of how the Bible interprets itself, read Daniel chapter 2. Here, a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar is given a dream from God. Upon waking, he cannot remember the dream. So he calls upon the astrologers, the magicians, to recall the interpretation of the dream. They couldn't do it. Then God uses prophet Daniel to tell the king what he dreamed, and then turn around and interpret it for him, because the king couldn't even remember what he dreamed. But it was disturbing to him, so he wanted to know. The dream is described by Daniel in verses 31 to 35. The interpretation of the dream is in chapter 2, verses 31 to 35. The interpretation of the dream is given in verses 36 to 45. This is an example of how, in many passages, the Bible interprets its own prophecy. The New Testament interprets many of the prophecies of the Old Testament, because much of the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. For example, compare this Old Testament prophecy and the New Testament fulfillment. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. That's in Hosea chapter 2, 23. Even us, whom he have called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. So they weren't his people at first. but now they are. At first it was only the Jews, but now it's also to the Gentiles. They were not my people. Thou art my people, and they shall say, they are my God. Thou art my God. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, that shall they be called the children of the living God. So what was done over in the Old Testament or said was fulfilled in the New Testament. Because the prophecy, it was prophesied in the Old and it was fulfilled in the New. That's how the Bible interprets itself. Fulfilled prophecy in the New Testament includes many Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, Jesus. Okay, number three, the rule of double reference. I'm trying to see how many guys I want to go over, and we probably won't get to that tonight. But on next week, and this will be the last I teach of this because this is some of my curriculum for the school, but it's so good, and it's so important for us to know this. It's very good and important for us to know it about prophecy. We all got the prophetic. We all got the calling, and we need to know about false prophets. We need to know how to interpret prophecy, Bible prophecy, and all. But this next thing is talking about the rule a double reference. Another key to understanding Bible prophecy is the rule of double reference. The rule of interpreting Bible prophecy states that a prophecy of immediate fulfillment is made as a means of teaching a deeper truth or foretelling an event to be fulfilled further in the future, and there's so much of that that's going to be in fulfilled. You know, we teach about it, we prophesy about it, but it's not going to be fulfilled until the future. A lot of things, especially the teaching out of Revelation about the statue and the 10 toes and the 10 nations. Now, some of that has already come to pass because England, they didn't want to be with the other nations anymore. So the nations that have dropped out, it's 10 nations now. Those 10 toes that's on that statue, it's 10 nations now. And so if you go and study your Bible, that it'll take you step by step what things are going to happen next. Over in Daniel, that statue, talking about them 10 toes, it represents the 10 nations. Now we have 10 nations because England backed out. It was 11. It was more than that, but then it got down to 11. But now England backed out. Now it's 10 nations. So this is when just the beginning of what the Word of God said was going to happen. So anyway, I mean, I have really enjoyed just even teaching it because it's so much in prophecy, period. Not only Bible prophecy, but when God give you a message or you ministering to somebody else and God give you a word to tell somebody, man, it's an awesome thing. So I thank and praise God, but I'm going to finish this up next week, and then we're going to go on to whatever God give me to teach about on next week, but after next week. But I think, and that prophecy to start off the new year, we need to know this stuff, and we need to know about false prophets and all that. So that's why God gave me some prophecy, because I had a couple questions asked to me about false prophets and all that. So when I thank and praise God that I can answer some of them. So we're getting ready to dismiss. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you on tonight for everyone in Radio Land and all the ones that's under the sound of my voice, Lord. I ask you to keep them all covered there in their family in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for opening up our understanding. We thank you for your revelation, Father. We just thank you for your word, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, we ask you to bless us going into this new year, to another year, Lord. I ask you to bless each one, Lord. Prosperity, I speak it over their lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask you right now to protect them in the name of Jesus throughout the year, Lord. In the name of Jesus, and do what you do best, Lord, over their lives. Be God over their lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. You all are dismissed. And I just want to tell you all, if I don't talk to you no more before the new year, Happy New Year. I love you guys. I thank God for each one of you, and God loves you too. So just stay prayerful and do what God tells you to do. You all have a good night, and God bless you. We won't have service this Sunday. We won't have service this Sunday, but we'll start on next Thursday back up again with our prayer meeting, Bible study, and our service on next Sunday, okay? God bless you. You all have a good night.
Good night and Happy New Year.
Good night. Happy New Year to you.